Now, after my wife, Pat, and Jim became believers, they would try to bring up the subject of me being saved. But I didn't want to hear about it. Why? Well, because I'm Jewish. And I didn't understand the need to be saved. I couldn't remember in my synagogue or in Hebrew school ever talking about being saved. I never heard of such a thing. I had no idea that when Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, nobody comes to the Father except through me," that he was talking to Hebrew people. He wasn't talking to Gentiles. I guess at that time I thought all Jewish people went to heaven, if there was a heaven, because again, I never heard about a heaven. We never talked about heaven or hell. So the question is, should I believe in a divine place called heaven? Well, so the question is this, another question. Should a Jewish person believe in the Torah and the Tanakh? The Torah is the first five books. The Tanakh is the rest, is the whole book, the whole Bible together. Should he believe it as the Word of God? And my answer is absolutely yes. Because if you don't believe in the Tanakh or the Torah, what kind of a Jew are you? And if the answer is yes, we can look at the Holy Scriptures to find truth. So we're going to look at a lot of Scriptures. So hold on with me. Don't get bored. Because with this type of message that I'm preaching, I have to use a lot of Scripture. Genesis 5, verse 21. When Enoch had lived 65 years, he became the father of Methuselah. And after he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Enoch lived 365 years. Enoch walked with God. And then he was no more because God took him away. God took Enoch away to where? Well, theologians, both Jewish and Gentile believers, they believe it's a divine dwelling place assumed to be heaven. And then we look at 2 Kings 2, verse 11. As they were walking along and talking together, suddenly a chariot of fire of horses of fire appeared and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up to heaven in a whirlwind. Where'd he go? Heaven. Where'd he go? Heaven, yeah. Psalm 73, verse 24. This is all a Jewish Bible. You guide me with your counsel, and afterward you will take me into glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? The earth has nothing I desire besides you. So the truth is that Jewish scriptures do speak of a divine place called heaven. Just so happens I wasn't taught that. I didn't know about that. So for the next question, let's look at the New Covenant, which was written for the Jews. The New Covenant was written for the Jews. Not only the Old Covenant, but the whole Bible is a Jewish book. And some of my pastor buddies, They call this the Old Testament, my portion, and the New Testament, their portion. But I say, no, who taught you something like that? I said, because of the Hebrew prophet Jeremiah, he wrote something in the Jewish Bible, Jeremiah 31, verse 30. And so we look there, and I always have them read this. Here the days are coming, says Adonai. I know this is the complete Jewish Bible, a version. When I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Yehuda or Judah. So remember Israel and Judah, they were separated at that time. He's making a new covenant with them. Who's he making? Is he making it to the non-Jews? No, he's making this covenant with the Jews. It will not be like the covenant I made with their fathers on the day I took them by their hand and brought them out of Egypt. Talking about the Hebrews, because they, for their part, violated my covenant, even though I, for my part, was a husband to them, says Adonai. For this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says Adonai. I will put my Torah within them and write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will any of them teach his fellow community member or his brother, no Adonai, for all will know me, for the least of them to the greatest, because I will forgive their wickedness and remember their sins no more. I will forgive their wickedness and remember their sins no more. So would you agree with me that the Tanakh does speak of being saved from sin? Would you agree with me? Anybody disagree? Because I'll give you more evidence. Okay, let's pray. And then we're going to turn the boat a little bit. Heavenly Father, I pray for this time. I pray that you help me speak very clearly and that we really understand this wonderful truth from the scriptures. I pray this in Yeshua's name. Amen. So now I'm turning the boat a little bit so nobody fall off. And we're going to look at the New Covenant and we're going to look at what Jeremiah was talking about when he talked about a New Covenant. In John 1, verse 1 and 2, and then we're going to jump to verse 14. This is really interesting. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling amongst us, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. So the Word in the beginning was the Father, the Word, and the Ruach. And the Word became flesh to dwell with us. In John 12, verse 44, when Yeshua cried out, "When a man believes in me, he does not believe in me only, but in the one who sent me. When he looks at me, he sees the one who sent me." Oh, so you look to Yeshua and you see God the Father. "I have come into the world as a light so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness. As for the person who hears my words but does not keep them, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world but to save it." He came to save the world. "There is a judge for the one who rejects me and does not accept my words. That very word which I spoke will condemn him at the last day. For I did not speak of my own accord, but the Father who sent me commanded me what to say and how to say it. I know that his command leads to eternal life. So whatever I say is just what the Father has told me to say." So, Yeshua is God manifest in the flesh, and in him dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily, the Word of God says. We look at Yeshua, we can see God the Father. So the question is this: what does Yeshua save us from anyways? You ever think about that? Most people would say he saves us from what? Hell. That's what most people would say. But we're not most people, so I don't know. So the question is, what does Yeshua save us from? Well, I got some things that I came up with. Yeshua saves us from our sins and the wrath of God. Well, how can you say that? Matthew 1, verse 20, 21. Well, I don't believe he saves us from the wrath of God. How can you say you don't believe that? It says right in the Bible, it says that. You know, you don't believe what the Word of God says. You know, why carry a Bible? Just take the Word of God, rip it out, throw it away. Why carry a big, heavy Bible if you don't believe what it says? Throw the parts away that you don't believe. Are you with me on that? By the way, that's my tearaway Bible. So Yeshua saves us from our sins and from the wrath of God. In Matthew 1, verse 20 and 21. Now listen. "But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife.'" Actually, her name wasn't Mary, it was Miriam. "Because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Yeshua, or Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. He will save his people, the Hebrews, the Israelites, from their sin. Colossians 3, verse 5 and 6. Put to death, therefore, everything that belongs to your earthly nature. We have an earthly nature and a spiritual nature. The spiritual nature is given by God. The natural nation and nature is what you're born with. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You want to know why the wrath of God is coming? It's because of these sins. So he saves us from sins and the wrath of God. Number two, Yeshua saves us from continually committing sin. You see, when you're before you're born again, all you can do is to sin, because what is not of faith is of sin. 1 Peter 2:24, and besides that, our righteous self-righteousness is like filthy rags to the Lord. 1 Peter 2:24, he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. So that we may die to sins. You die to sins. See, we have that. We are born again. We're body, soul, and spirit. When you're born again, you're given a new spirit. And you're given a spirit, the Spirit of God. You're born again. And when you're water baptized, the old man is washed away. What part of that is? It's the old spirit. Romans 6, verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. A new life. In 1 John 3, verse 8, he who does what is sinful is of the devil. People don't think about that, but there was a time I didn't walk with God, believe me, and I wasn't an angel. I was actually an instrument of the devil and didn't even realize it, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. No one who was born of God will continue to sin. He will not continue to sin. Why is that? Because he's convicted by the Holy Spirit, and God's given him the power not to continue to sin. Because God's seed remains in him, he cannot go on sinning because he has been born of God. This is how we know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. Anyone who does not do what is right is not a child of God, nor is anyone who does not love his brother. So something happens when you become born again. All of a sudden, you have a desire to do right by the word of God. You have a desire to do right, and you can do right because of the power of God within your life. And all of a sudden, you love your brothers. I'm talking about, you know, the brethren, those part of the family of God. All of a sudden, you love them. Another thing, we're saved from the separation of God. In Isaiah 59, verses 1 to 2, surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save, nor to hear, nor his ear too dull to hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he will not hear. You think people they pray, but they're not born again. They pray, but they've not received Yeshua in their lives. They pray, but God says, even though God is God, he says, he will not hear. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. Well, Frank, I don't believe that. Well, should we rip out another page? Number four, we're saved from being separated from the family of God. You know, I hear people on the radio saying, we're all all humanity is the family of God. I go, that's bunk. That's bogus. We're not all family. Now, we're not all children of God. We're not all, he's not our heavenly father. There's only when you come into the family through Yeshua do you become part of his family. Galatians 6, verse 9. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we'll reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. That's the family of faith. That's the family of God, the family of faith, faith in Yeshua. So we're saved from being separated from the family of God. And then number five, we're saved from eternal damnation. This is a scary one. 2 Peter 2:4. For if God did not spare angels when they sinned, but sent them to hell, putting them into gloomy dungeons to be held for judgment, if he did not spare the ancient world when he brought the flood on its ungodly peoples, but protected Noah, a preacher of righteousness, and seven others, if he condemned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah by burning them to ashes and made them an example of what is going to happen to the ungodly, and if he rescued Lot, a righteous man who was distressed by the filthy lives of lawless men, for that righteous man living among them day after day was tormented in his righteous soul by the lawless deeds he had heard. If this is so, then the Lord knows how to rescue godly people from trials and to hold the unrighteous for the day of judgment while continuing their punishment. This is especially true of those who follow the corrupt desire of the sinful nature and despise authority. The authority of the Lord Yeshua. Corrupt desires. I'll tell you, sinning, whoever said sinning is not fun is lying. Sinning can be fun, but there's a penalty. And we can break that. We have the power of God within us to break that within us. So the third question is this. Who does Yeshua save anyways? Who does he save? Just a select few? Just the Israelites? Who does he save? John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. Any water? Thank you. I'm used to a dry and thirsty land where no water is. So who does God save? Anybody who will, anybody within the world. Well, Frank, how in the world do you get saved? How does it happen? Is it tricky? Is it difficult? And my answer, it's so easy, people think it's too easy. Romans 10, verse 9 to 13 tell us how to get saved. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So you have to confess with your mouth and really believe in your heart. The problem is a lot of people, they confess with their mouth, but they really don't believe in their heart. If they don't believe in their heart, are they really saved? No, it's a stillbirth. You're not born again. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. Justified, that's a fancy word for meaning that just as if I'd never sinned. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. So you have to not only believe it, but confess it. As the scripture says, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call upon him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Next question. What am I saved for anyways? Well, Ephesians 2:10 says, for where God's workmanship created in Messiah Yeshua to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. You know, this is hard to believe, but God knew you before you were you. He knew you before you were new. And he's given you spiritual gifts for those that receive Yeshua as Lord and Savior. And he's given you abilities. And these are to be used to glorify God. And that includes making disciples. In Matthew 28:19, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. You know, not many believers really proclaim the gospel to other people. But that is a commission. So many people say, well, I don't talk about politics or religion. Well, I can understand the politics thing, but the religion, we're commanded to speak about religion. Yeshua commands us to go and make disciples. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. How are they going to believe unless someone speaks to them? Bible says, how beautiful are those who bring the good news. You want beautiful feet? Bring good news. So, you may be created just to talk to one person and bring the seed of the word of God into their life. Another person comes along and waters it. Another person comes along and waters it. And before you know it, it makes sense that you receive Yeshua as your Savior. I'm going to give you a bottom line right here. Bottom line. Through your faith in Messiah Yeshua, he saves us from the penalty and the power of sin. This includes being saved from God's wrath, eternal life, and the consequences of sin in our lives. He saves us because he loves us, and he has a purpose for every one of his children. He has a purpose. So we're saved. Saved from what? We're saved from God's wrath. We're saved from continually sinning because God's gave us the power of God so we don't have to continue to sin. Before you're born again, all you can do is really... Before I was saved, all I could do was to sin. Even if I'm a good person, that self-righteousness is worthless to God. I'm saved from the separation of God. We're saved from the separation of God's family. And we're saved from eternal damnation. To be saved. I remember when I first got saved, I didn't even know what I was getting into. I had no idea. I just got through watching Jim get water baptized. Came home. Pets is to me, are you saved? I didn't know what that meant. So I said, no, I doubt it. She said, you want to get saved? I don't know why he said yes. I have no idea. So she said, Pat said, let's kneel at the bed together. I never kneeled at my bed, you know, to pray. Besides that, I had just my underwear on. I thought maybe I should put pants on and put a tie on or something if I'm going to come into the presence of God. She said, it's okay the way you are. So we both knelt by the bed. And she said, repeat after me. And she led me into a prayer. She led me into a prayer. Did I believe what I was praying? Yeah, I did. Best I know. And I got saved. And my life changed. My life changed from then on in. My wife went out and bought me a Bible. I didn't know where to start. So I'll start from the beginning. She says, no, start reading the book of John first, New Covenant. I started reading it. I said, Pat, this is nothing but a Jewish book. It's all about Jews. She said, yeah, it is. Jim was so happy I got saved. Jim used to preach to me all the time. Actually, I'm his disciple. He says, Dad, you're my best disciple. Amazing how your life changes, and it never changes for the worse. It only changes for the good. I'm glad I'm saved. Are you glad you're saved? Yeah. Let me ask a question here now. And Jim asks this question after every meeting. I'll do this. I'll follow in his steps, my discipler. Is there anybody here that finally says, I give up? I want to become a believer. Usually pastors say, bow your heads. I don't say that because I'm a peeker. And I notice there's a lot of peekers. There's nothing to be ashamed of. There's nothing to be ashamed. How many of you raised your hand when somebody asked that question, you got saved? Raise your hand if that was you. Yeah, sure. Most of us. So if there's someone here that would like to become part of the family of God, raise your hand, please. Don't be ashamed. Anybody at all? No? We're all born again. Nice. We're all part of the family of God? Maybe. Listen, after service, I'll be up here for a little bit. Come and see me, and we'll pray together, okay? Let's all stand together. Heavenly Father, I thank you for opening our eyes to the truth of who Yeshua is, that he is God manifest in the flesh. And no man killed him. He gave his life freely to die on a cross so we could have eternal life. We thank you for that. We thank you for allowing us to be part of your family, the family of God. In Yeshua's name, the Aaronic benediction. Yavarechach Adonai v'yishmarecha. Ye'er Adonai panav alecha v'chunecha. Yisei Adonai panav alecha v'yasem lacha. Shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace, peace in your heart, knowing that Yeshua said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. In Yeshua's name, amen. God bless you.